The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
My whole life, I've been told this one story about my family, about how my great-great-grandmother was killed by the mafia back in Sicily. I was never sure if it was true, so I decided to find out. And even though my Uncle Jimmy told me I'd only be making the vendetta worse, I'm going to Sicily anyway. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Charles W. Chuck Bryant here in the studio at Pond City Market, Atlanta. And I'm going to be honest here. I am a little hungover because we recorded our Oscar special last night as live as we could do it, which is to say stopping about every 30 or 45 minutes after the show started and recording on what we had just seen. It was me and my lovely wife, Emily, from last week. And we had a third person. We had our friend Scotty in there, and I introduced Scotty in the body of the show, so I won't do that here, but we had a good time and managed to stay awake through the entire show. So without any further ado, here is our 2018 Oscars Spectacular. Hey, and welcome to Movie Crush. Charles W. Chuck Bryant here in the dining room once again for our Oscar special. Thank you for your support for Emily for the pre-Oscar special. Say hello.
Hello. Thank you.
It was pretty delightful, huh?
It was super delightful.
The people spoke.
The people spoke. And they weren't mean.
They thought you were great.
So appreciated.
If you hear another male voice laughing,
that's Emily's alternate personality.
That is our friend Scotty.
Hello.
Scotty, who's been mentioned, I believe, right?
Yeah, Scotty named the show. So that's special.
Yeah, you get screen time for that.
I did.
Sure.
Well, you know, it just fell out.
It literally did. I told the story. I said, what should I call this thing? And you said, what's it about? And I told you, and you went, how about Movie Crush?
Just like tossed it away. No big deal at all.
And then you fell back asleep.
Yeah, that was my, occasionally I get a good one. That was my good one.
All right. So Scotty, here's how he fits into our life. We have known Scotty for, since what, the late 90s?
Yeah.
That's kind of crazy.
Yeah, late 90s.
Probably 20 plus years.
We knew him from the previous century.
I think we got to be going on 20.
Yeah.
Over. Oh, yeah. God, yeah, over.
Yeah, because the Olympic official film. Do we dare tell the story?
No one cares about that. But Scotty is our old friend from the film business, and we all lived in L.A. at the same time, and now we're all back in Atlanta at the same time. And he's basically like a family member, and is a filmmaker himself, has worked as a director and cameraman and cinematographer. And
I have a special relationship with the Bryants. You might have to edit this out, but you have my standing offer that if one of you kills the other, I will help the other get rid of the body.
There is no truer friendship than
I will
that.
Not help with the actual murder, but
no,
if one
yeah.
of you needs to get rid of
yeah,
the other's body.
Yeah, if we're in
body,
trouble, you're there. Like, that puts you number one friend.
No questions asked. I'll just help
yeah,
you get rid
you
of.
You just show up.
Or Chuck get rid of. No
yeah.
offense.
No, I know. You're equal.
You
I appreciate that.
You might have had it
that.
Coming.
Yeah, I probably did. And of course, we would both do the same for you.
You should probably delete that. That would exhibit A in our.
So the reason Scotty's here is A, because we just wanted to watch the Oscars with Scotty, and B, because he sees every movie almost that comes out.
And C, I don't have a TV.
And they don't do the Oscars on Netflix.
And quickly, I want to tell my favorite, one of my favorite Oscar stories with Scotty. We lived in LA and we met at our friends, Tom and Kira's house for an Oscar party. Scotty was supposed to come. We were all going to go. Scotty never showed through the whole entire night. And the Oscars, keep in mind, is a fucking 4-hour
ordeal.
So the Oscars are over. We get up and we leave the house, and Scotty pulls up right as we're leaving in the driveway and rolls down the window and says, "Who won?"
I've run hot and cold on the Oscars over the years. Sometimes I'm very interested. Sometimes I just like to read about it.
So the scene is that we are in the dining room again. Ruby, apparently I went to go pick up our food and Emily put Ruby to bed, and apparently she was a psychopath.
Bananas, which I think was for Scotty's.
It's when you see things like that and then you think about The Exorcist, you think this was how that movie got made.
She ramped up. I was like, slow down.
Which means she was probably super tired.
She was super tired and really excited Scotty was here. So
she was running around with a piece of foam from the new dehydrator.
The dehydrator foam was the square she kept putting over her head. I finally had to snatch her and put her in her room, and it broke and she freaked out. So I said, I fixed it. And I brought the other one from the package.
Kept saying, I need it. I need it.
Yeah.
And last night, I want to point out, we saw I, Tonya together, the three of us. Scotty had already seen it, but we had not. So we got a couple of Best Actress and Best Supporting Actress noms.
I was so excited we saw that movie before the
Oscars.
It
was awesome.
Yeah, it was great.
All right, so here's what we're going to do. We are going to make this as sort of a live as we go thing as possible, and to keep us from being up till 1:30 in the morning, we're going to do little rundowns after every, I don't know, 30 or 45 minutes.
Yeah, great.
Does that sound good?
Yeah, well, when we get to the boring parts, we can stop and...
I've never done this before, so I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just
going to trust you two. I am an experienced podcaster now, so
as long as I don't have to bury a body, it's a good night.
no one's getting buried tonight.
We should be okay. So we watched the red carpet, and we don't want to get too bogged down in that stuff. But I think we should talk about Michael Strahan for a minute.
Bless his heart.
Good for him. He's transitioned well. I mean, he's entertaining.
Well, he had a lot of just kind of verbal missteps, but I think that's part of being live and, you know, like trying to think of all the words.
Hey, listen.
Or being Michael Strahan.
Yeah.
Which I don't have the history with him that you guys have.
I am not.
I just know him as this guy.
Hosting the red carpet, so I don't know what that's like, but I'd like to go over a few of his greatest hits.
Which in like a very short time period.
When he was talking about Timothée Chalamet, he said... that this was his breakoff role.
Breakoff role. That breakout role. Tickled me.
He, when he's talking to Benicio del Toro.
Guillermo
del Toro. He said that he had made something that was like Creepy from the Black Lagoon.
Didn't catch that. That's funny.
And I think he said Timothée Chalamet also was nominated for an actor.
He said that to Matthew McConaughey about Timothée Chalamet. Yeah,
he's nominated for an actor.
Can you believe he was nominated for an actor? And
I think in his defense, those are all actually the names of football plays. So kind of what he defaulted to.
Bless his heart.
He's had more head trauma than anybody else on the red carpet. And he's still
I know, we're making fun of CTE.
I know. He doesn't have CTE, does he?
Oh, I don't know.
That's not funny.
Margot Robbie or Robbie and Mother.
We're unsure.
Is it Robbie or Robbie?
You wouldn't rewind to hear him announce it.
That's because we're on a schedule.
I know.
How great were they?
Loved them. Love, love, love. Her mother is darling.
Yes.
Her mother looks like Robin Penn Wright.
She kind of does. Yeah. I don't think I think she's dropped Penn.
Robin Wright Penn.
Yeah.
Has she reversed?
I don't think she, I don't think Sean Penn gets claim to her name anymore.
He probably thinks he does. Timothée Chalamet and his mom.
Oh, I can't even.
And his little ill-fitting prom tux.
Ugh.
Adorable. And they shouted out to public arts
funding. Public arts funding. I was like, thank you for that, because he went to the Fame High School.
How
rare
is it got to be to take your mom to your first Oscar? I mean, and he won the Spirit Award last night, too. I mean,
yeah.
This is the one movie I haven't seen.
I think something's wrong with her, because I was weeping when that happened, and she was just like, yay!
Well, she's not drunk.
Well, neither am I. I've had a glass of wine.
So
accusing his mother of being cold and indifferent to
him. Yeah, exactly. I'd be a better mother than you to him.
Let's go ask Ruby about that.
Fortunately, she can't answer that question.
We move on to Saoirse Ronan, who that accent is amazing and kills me.
A beautiful accent.
And she talked about her dog.
Yeah. So she's, no, it's her mom's dog.
Well, whatever. She talked about a dog.
It was a dog that ranks above her because it's her mom's dog.
Kamel and Emily Gordon.
So excited for them.
Right?
Yep.
Who were they?
Big Sick.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Right.
Kamel Nanjiani.
And then finally on the red carpet for what we saw, Greta Gerwig.
Charming and delightful as usual.
Just wonderful.
Yeah.
Right?
She's wonderful.
Any other comments?
That movie was a... After I saw that movie, I think I called you. I was like, this is the kind of movie that makes you remember why you liked movies. It was just like so honest and direct and just small. There was like nothing that didn't need to be there.
Grandiose.
It was the perfect size. It was the perfect length.
There
was
just did a straight. Didn't have to be grandiose.
I agree. It is not grandiose. It's very down-to-earth movie. All right. So I think that wraps up for the red carpet. We are going to go watch the opening monologue with Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh, I didn't even know he was hosting.
And we'll be right back.
Twinkle, twinkle, twink. We're back.
Good God. What are you drinking now?
That is a vodka and kombucha because that's the only like juice.
I thought what is kombucha?
It's a fermented fruit drink.
I thought the whole idea of kombucha was like it was like a ridiculously healthy thing.
Yeah.
I thought kombucha. What is green tea powder? What's that?
Green, it's powdered green tea.
No.
You're talking about matcha.
Matcha.
It's powdered. Well, it's a
that's what I was thinking.
A different kind of green tea, but it's powdered.
Yeah, kombucha is not the same thing as matcha.
No, it's fermented.
So you just pour your health food in your alcohol now.
Yes.
All right,
guys.
We're back, everybody. We're going to cover the opening monologue, supporting actor, and we have to give our love to Eva Marie Saint.
Darling.
But not yet. Opening monologue.
Great. I thought he was hysterical.
Like, yeah.
And kind of low key.
Kept it moving.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very...
And it wasn't...
It seemed very, very short.
Compared, yeah.
But very entertaining.
Come and natural, not na-na-na-na-na, you know.
Yeah, I mean, Billy Crystal used to do this whole big bit, which was kind of fun, but... I think now people appreciate a little bit of a, like, let's just get to it.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, I mean, you know, you can fault our short attention spans, but the Oscars was always too long. So
yeah.
I think whatever they can do to keep moving along, as many jet skis as they need to give away.
Very tightened up. I think the moment so far of the show is when Helen Mirren was the Price is Right jet ski.
We both at the same time went, is that Helen Mirren? That was fun. I love her. She is so game. I think she's up for anything. She's just really wonderful.
Yeah, she's one of those.
Well, and her husband is, what's his name, Taylor Hackford?
Like, oh, yeah. May December.
Yeah. No, she's fantastic. I met her on set.
May December? They're about the same age.
I thought he was young.
I think
he's old.
Well.
Oh.
He might be 5 years younger, but...
She's a cool guy.
I don't know if it's May, December.
All right, my
it's
bad. Like I was thinking... Like, how about May, June?
Like May, late May, early May.
I don't know. Oh, I know, you know what? I got it mixed up with someone else. Sorry.
I think so far we all agree that the Oscar, the Statue of Limitations...
Statue of Limitations was hysterical.
Yeah.
The award not having a penis.
Yeah.
Is that somebody in the writer's room definitely... I bought a steak dinner.
Either that or Timothy Chalamet's missing Paw Patrols right
yes,
now.
Yes, that was fantastic.
But he was actually watching it on his phone, so he wasn't missing it at all.
So, first award of the night always goes to Best Supporting Actor. Willem Dafoe, Woody Harrelson, Richard Jenkins, Christopher Plummer, Sam Rockwell. Rockwell wins.
My pick.
Was that your pick?
Was that your? Yeah, that was totally my pick. Was that your pick?
I think I thought he would win, and like I would have been fine with... I didn't see Florida Project, but or the other one, but I would have been fine with Woody Jenkins or Rockwell.
Yeah, same. But yes, Rockwell was my pick. I think that was a far-reaching,
very dynamic role. Has Dafoe ever grabbed an Oscar?
I don't think so.
That's a good question.
He seems like a kind of a Meryl Streep of character actors. Like he's always like so good that he never gets the award because he's always just that good.
Because it just seems natural.
He was really good in the Florida Project.
I don't think he's ever won an award or an Oscar.
I thought he was really good. I like Sam Rockwell. Sam Rockwell,
He's great.
It's amazing that's his first nomination and he won for it. And how is that possible?
Yeah, I feel like he should have been nominated before. He's like one of the greats.
He was great
of
Moon.
His generation, I think.
Well, he got the Spirit Award last night. I wonder if he got, he must have gotten that for Moon too. I remember him winning another. Or maybe he got a Globe. He got the Globe, the Spirit, and the Oscar. Didn't you say
yeah,
that? Yeah. For this? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. All the things.
And I bet he'll get the BAFTA.
They already did BAFTAs, I believe.
Really?
Yeah.
And he gave, his speech was kind of nice. And then he gave Philip Seymour Hoffman a shout out.
Yeah, then, that was really nice.
Which is very nice. Then there was some other awards that are a little boring for us. But costume design, Eva Marie Saint came out. And that was just kind of great.
She was wonderful.
She brought up North and Northwest, and that is literally one of my favorite movies. It's got to be amazing to be someone that old and look at yourself like in the prime of your life and be like that 40 feet wide and 30 feet high and be like, I used to look like that. How weird. What a strange experience.
I know.
Well, she joked she was older than the Oscars by like a few months.
It's crazy. She's still beautiful.
She's beautiful.
And, well, she just,
and walking.
Well, she just seemed completely.
Like she's mobile. Which is wonderful. Hey, she's 93. That's, you know.
No, I know.
That's not chump
change. She looked great.
She was sharp, too.
Yeah,
she
was
great. Didn't seem like somebody they had, like, tottered out there. They were
no,
like,
she was on.
No,
you've
got to
walk
wonderful.
60 feet over there and then talk, you know.
She joked, though. She was like, keep moving. You know, like, she's active.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
She said that on the show?
Yeah. I'm kidding. I'm not kidding. Like, 93 and mobile is no joke.
Are you sure?
I think a lot of 93-year-olds will agree with
that. I think that's the one takeaway for this whole episode.
It totally is.
Right? Eva Marie
Saint. Keep moving.
No joke.
And then, of course, Mark Bridges won for Phantom Thread for costume design.
I don't know. How does that movie not get it out of
he might have won the jet ski. It was a really short speech.
He's certainly a contender.
All right. So we're going to go back. We're going to watch the next batch.
You know what the funny thing about the Oscars is there's probably actually no jet ski.
Like, they won't even
get
it. Or they all got a jet ski in their gift bag.
Yeah, exactly. And Oprah's there, like, filming.
Nobody got one, or everybody got one.
Look under your seat. Right. It's a jet ski.
It's like kindergarten. All right, we're going to go watch the next batch and probably drink too much. And we'll be back right after this.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
I never thought I'd take my three young kids to Sicily to solve a century-old mystery. But that's what I'm doing in my new podcast, The Sicilian Inheritance. Join us as we travel thousands of miles on the beautiful and crazy island of Sicily, as I trace my roots back through a mystery for the ages and untangle clues within my family's origin story, which has morphed like a game of telephone through the generations. Was our family matriarch killed in a land deal gone wrong? Or was it by the Sicilian mafia? A lover's quarrel? Or was she, as my father believed, a witch? Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is anyone tired?
I'm getting there.
The Oscars never get tired.
Yeah.
All right. So, recapping what we just watched, they had a felt like a 10-minute long retrospective of movie clips.
Yeah, we didn't even. What we were like, what is this for?
I think it's just 90 years of Oscars. We figured out
it was 90 years.
I think there's a bit of the three of you and I sitting around gabbing and missing some of the intros because it did sort of the three of us looked up and this long thing was happening.
I kept going, no, it's best supporting actress or best actress, but you're like, but it's like
they probably 50 announced dudes. It and we weren't listening, but God, it went on forever.
Well, I don't think really there was. Long. I think the theme was just 90 years of Oscar.
It was great clips.
Nominees
and 90
winners.
Minutes of Oscar clips.
It was great clips. It just, maybe it was all the emotions I felt.
That's too much, man.
92 emotions, man.
Production, sound, the two sound awards both went to Dunkirk.
Yeah.
We were
obvi.
A little bit miffed that Baby Driver, I figured if any
had
movie
to get something.
Should have gotten either editing or sound or something, and all of them went to Dunkirk.
Dunkirk was a predictable Oscar move.
What, to win all the editing?
Yeah, it's like check.
I feel like sometimes war movies just sort of get them because
they're the loudest.
True. But Baby Driver to me was like, if any movie should win editing.
Such a sound movie.
And sound.
Yeah.
Basically cut to the timing of whatever song.
Yeah.
I have a note here on my laptop that says Jimmy Kimmel inexplicably having a potato chip on his head.
It was something. He was complaining about the snack, so it was like a vegetable chip or something.
And
I don't
on his
know.
Head like a tiny little yarmulke.
Yeah,
the smallest yarmulke. But I don't know if
also
that,
the most edible yarmulke.
He ate his yarmulke.
I don't know if he knew that it was on his head though.
I feel like
he
did.
He put it there.
He didn't put it there.
I don't think someone just dropped a potato chip on his head.
I don't know. Rita Moreno.
So fun.
She's 113 years old.
No, but she's like 83.
And she looks great.
Yeah, she looked amazing. She danced out on stage. She made Eva Marie Saint seem ancient.
Joe Louis, 137 years old.
Everybody's always talking about Joe Louis.
She wore apparently the dress from 1962.
Yeah.
Danced in the dress from 1962.
Yeah, she was wonderful.
And then A Fantastic Woman won Best Foreign Film, which none of us have seen.
But we're all going to see it immediately.
We're watching it now, actually.
Yeah, in between.
If I seem distracted, it's 90 because
minute
I'm being
clips.
Best Supporting Actress. Big award. Mary J. Blige, Allison Janney, Leslie Manville, Laurie Metcalf, and Octavia Spencer. And as anyone who listened last week knows that we were all in on Laurie Metcalf.
Yeah, it was a bit of an upset for me, but I'm glad we saw I, Tonya last night because I could get behind, because I adore Allison Janney anyways, and now I get behind it. But I still, the stricken look on Laurie Metcalf's face was enough. I was like,
she looked a little sad.
She looked stricken. Yeah, yeah. Like,
I mean, it was, I think,
I was, wanted her to get that.
I think
that.
Laurie Metcalf is a great actress. I think it was, I think she was also the recipient of great material, whereas I feel like Janney sort of,
really like
inhabited a character and then sort of I don't know I feel like that's
how you
get the best actor of any of the categories.
You know, that's a good assessment, that's a good way to put it, and that is a point. It's like if you have to be something outside of your realm.
Well, in another year of Metcalf, I mean, her performance was solid. I mean, I think a lot of times that does happen where you get people who they all are really deserving.
That was a tough category.
They were both great.
Yeah.
But one thing, like, you can't, as much as my heart wanted Laurie Metcalf, you can't deny anything from Allison Janney.
No, of course not. And she's wonderful. And honestly, I think Laurie Metcalf, she's just more present than Laurie Metcalf.
Great speech,
like,
too.
Yeah.
I did it all by myself.
She's great. I just feel like every year Allison Janney gets better. You know?
I think,
like,
she's kind of beloved in the acting community.
And it's one and one for her. First nomination and a win. You know what I mean? She hasn't even gotten so much as a nomination.
She's been in so many great films, though. That's weird.
Yeah, she's always great. She's like Meryl Streep of supporting actresses.
Yeah,
she's
totally.
Always great. Like William Dafoe. He's always great.
Yeah.
He never gets an Oscar.
That's right. Coco won Best Animated Feature.
Rightfully so. Boom.
Least surprising thing of the night.
Good for Pixar.
And then finally they did the, as far as comedy bits, they went down to the Chinese theater, a bunch of actors, and gave out.
It was like
candy.
The reverse of what they did last year when they bought audience members into.
It's funny, none of those actors wanted to go, and then you cut to them in the theater having the best time with, like, the hot dog gun.
They wanted to go, they volunteered.
No, some of them were like pulled in.
I think a few
but
were.
Then they were running around. Yeah.
Mark Hamill was like, oh, me, take me.
I'm
relevant again.
I'm going to admit something that you guys are going to be very ashamed of me for this. The whole time during the Star Wars thing, I didn't realize that was Mark Hamill. And I maintain it's because you guys left me out of going to see that movie.
I don't feel like as I've known you for a long time. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like I'm leaving you out of going to see a Star Wars movie. I feel like if I invite you to the Star Wars movie, you're going to say, yeah, it's not really top of my list.
Well, that you just don't know me that well.
I know. I think I know you that well. And I think what I'm going to get is, it's not that top of my list.
Well, it wasn't because I was forced between that and like other things that were the top of my list. But I love Star Wars. I grew up in that era.
There's another one coming out in 4 months.
But now you guys are talking about that one. I don't know what you're talking about. Well, I didn't even recognize Luke Skywalker. It's both of your faults.
I didn't recognize Luke Skywalker.
But I think we can all agree at least that Star Wars bit was terrible.
Well, yeah, he had like
with BB-8 and jokes from 1986.
Well, it was actually written by George Lucas, which he's still actually in charge of the marketing campaign, which is sometimes it falls flat.
All right, so that does it for this segment. We are going to go back, and as the awards pick up a little steam, they've given away all the awards that no one cares about.
Have they though? Is it time? Because I'm having to pull up some grit.
You're like a little kid over here trying to stay awake. Yeah. She's like slapping her face and tugging on her.
Like a good drink has to ensue.
Just me and Scotty.
No, come on.
If there's a gentle snoring in the background, then
I will always show up.
All right, we'll be back right after this. Okay, we're back.
Oh, was that on?
Oh, was it on?
It's on.
How awkward.
We're all very tired.
Mm-hmm. Starting to feel like a job.
It's 11:30. Oscars. It is my job.
I know, Oscars but so long. I'm doing this for fun.
All right, so we will do this piece, and then the final four awards, we'll do it like the Oscars does it.
Yeah.
Which is boom, right at the end. So pretty awesome and powerful to see Ashley Judd, Salma Hayek, and Annabella Sciorra.
Yes, Sciorra. And I...
That was awesome.
It was awesome. And I didn't realize that Annabella Sciorra was one of the women who disappeared because of Harvey Weinstein. But all three of them... Well, Salma didn't disappear, but Ashley Judd, Mira Sorvino, and I guess Annabella Sciorra, he basically like...
It's interesting when you think about these people's careers, you know, sometimes you wonder, where did so-and-so go? Why aren't they doing any big pictures anymore?
Now,
you
know what I mean?
It's
because of a monster.
Well, yeah, it's heartrending to see what a, you know, I mean, you just, there's three women standing in a line who are all some of the most powerful women in the world, given their celebrity and their talents.
Well, you would think.
And they were raped by this guy and they had no voice. Like they told people and nobody listened. It's
and
amazing.
Then they got somehow excommunicated from the community, which that does me in. Yeah. So that shows the layers of just badness.
Yeah, it was awesome. And that great little film piece they did on just diversity in movies. I liked it.
It was great.
I like it.
We're all a bunch of liberal hippies. We loved it.
Absolutely. I'm needle pointing some hemp right now.
I'm
going to use it as paper because it saves trees.
Best adapted screenplay, James Ivory won for Call Me By Your Name.
Oh, that just did me in.
What's up with all these sharp 90-year-olds? I mean, like these 90-year-olds
I know.
Who are
well,
like, I'm not that sharp and I'm in my 40s.
It's kind of wonderful because ageism in Hollywood is, you know.
They're tackling all the isms.
Yeah, all the isms are like well handled. But his Timothée Chalamet shirt.
Yes,
I saw that was happening. Was wonderful.
Well, and a great script. And like, how awesome is it to see a
90-year-old writing this adapted screenplay?
It's amazing.
The most liberal and artistic script of the year.
Beautiful.
You know? All of it.
All right. Best script. This was tough.
This was a tough one.
Lady Bird, Three Billboards, Big Sick, Shape of Water, and then Get Out. It's like, my heart wanted Greta Gerwig just because we adore her, but Like, you can't argue about Jordan.
No, and awesome. My favorite thing is she was the first to pop up and just
she
like
did. She jumped, crop, crop, crop. She jumped, yeah, yeah, bottle rocketed out of her yeah. seat with genuine joy.
Like, if great. She wasn't going to win, he should have won. Although I was really bummed for Big Stick too, and they looked really bummed because that was like that was a and it was a great unique. This was a tough category.
It was really. I mean, you could give it to any of them except Shape of Water.
Well, we that the, I said yeah. that in our first podcast.
Yeah, that doesn't. That's not the best script. That script could be in a year.
I know. Apparently, it's E.T.
Well, and Get Out was, I mean, just such an original story and like this is, a weird mix of genres and like it was a tough thing to pull off.
It was, and he talked about that, and it was well deserved. I think
I would say that to me, it's like it's hard to give him this one and not give him Best Director because although the script is incredible. I think if you sat down and read that script without seeing that movie, you'd be like, oh, this is great, dude. It'll never get made.
Right. Right.
But then you see the movie. It's like he almost has to win Best Director because to write that script and to make it not palpable is the wrong word. Like it's right. just, it's watchable. It's like everybody has enjoyed it. It's not just, it's a weird message, but he just did it.
I bet in a lot of the meetings he took, he said, just let me make it. Like,
trust me.
There was a table. This will be great. There was a table full of people trying to talk him out of it in the most yeah. subtle yeah. way possible.
That's yeah, great. And a great speech. Like,
are you sure you're only going to get one of these where we like open up the checkbook? You're only going to get one.
Seriously.
Like, if this bombs, like, you're
screwed.
He's probably threatened with career over.
Yeah.
Great speech, like from the heart, which is always
yeah.
nice. He didn't
yeah.
read from a piece of paper.
Yeah.
The great, great Roger Deakins finally wins for best cinematographer. Scotty, I think I saw a slight tear in your eyes, yeah. cameraman.
A little weepy.
It did.
That was great.
When I regained consciousness, I was absolutely yeah. ecstatic.
15 nominations. Like, he's one of the most overdue people in the history of the Oscars, I think.
But you have to get, I mean, he's, it's like a Meryl Streep sort of thing where he's always going to be so good. It's like, when
yeah,
do you,
he'll
you,
always
it's like, it's like, when do you decide to single him out? Because once again, it was incredible. You know what I mean? This is kind of the movie you have to do it for. And I don't know. I mean, I definitely would. I'm glad that this was the first year one got nominated. I was torn in that sense, but Deakins has a body of work that's just unarguable. And I don't think he's going to do another. I mean, he's going to do some more big movies, but he's never going to have a chance to do one like this with a sci-fi movie with this kind of writing core
yeah.
and like people who, I mean, they actually made this Blade Runner is better than the first Blade Runner. And the first Blade Runner was incredible.
Right. I love the cinematographer awards because, and the speeches because, I feel like even like costume designer and production designer, like a lot of times they're not on set all the time, but like cinematographer is the one true award that's like a crew member and like is on set every day as a crew member. Aside from obviously like director.
Well, I think there's so much logistics that go into being a DP. It's like you're there on tech scouts and you're looking at something and you're like, we'd like to have curtains there. And then you're the one who has to like go back and say, well, I think the curtains need to be about 30 yards wide and 70 yards long and they should be this shade of red. You know what I mean?
And it's then like, they're like, lose the curtains.
you deal with the whole crew. And I think to make big movies like that, not only do you have to deal with them officially, you have to deal with them in a pleasant way. And
right.
I mean,
but he's like an English surfer dude. So look at sure yes, exactly. Up, which is a total oxymoron.
He's surfing.
Like, I bet he's fun to work.
He's surfing on Gloucester or Gloucester, yes. as they
on the lake. Yeah, he's darling.
He has interesting. You should, as internet savvy people, you should go to his blog. He has a great blog.
Oh yeah,
and he is very generous.
You're a camera nerd.
Well, he's very generous with his time and answering questions.
Why are you like being a bully? You're picking
I'm
on
not
Scotty. Like
Scotty can take it. Trust
people,
me,
yeah,
I can
guy.
Certainly dish it.
Most people are camera nerds these days. Everybody has. We have
Plus
amazing
it's a
cameras.
Joke.
On our phone.
Nerd is not an insult anymore.
Most people are camera
I'm gonna,
nerds these days.
I'm going to bury anybody. It doesn't matter if I have to bury both of you. I'm fine with that too.
He's like, just shut up.
Best score, Shape of Water won, which was a really nice score, but we wanted Johnny Greenwood because
of course,
he's a radio.
Yeah,
because
Avi.
And then, of course, the In Memoriam, a.k.a. the Dead Person montage. I thought Eddie Vedder was a nice touch.
It was fine.
I liked Eddie Vedder.
I mean, I love Eddie Vedder.
Like, tell the truth, Scotty. What were you saying on the couch?
I called him an Oscar miser, so he doesn't want
No, you said, I think I like it better without Eddie Vedder.
No. In fairness, I'm going
but
to...
But you know everything's better with Vedder.
Oh, you just wanted to say that. You set it all up to say that.
I just
that.
Made that shit up.
Oh, my God.
I just made that shit up.
I can't believe it's not better.
In fairness, I think what Scotty actually said was, I don't need a guy with the guitar in front of the screen.
Thank you, Emily. I felt like it was distracting to have. I mean, it's. I mean, the whole point. I mean, so many of those people you don't even know. And to a certain extent, there's the famous people. There's the John Hurts. There's the Jerry Lewis. But then you have like a sound designer, and you're like, well, I remember that movie, and, and you know what I mean. It's like you don't necessarily. They're not name brand recognizable. I don't need Eddie Vedder popping up and then the camera racking to the.
That was slightly weird when they. It was like.
To the screen behind him. It's
suddenly
like,
it's like low on Eddie Vedder. And that told me the people behind him weren't as important as the other people.
Absolutely. Which, it was like, here's Eddie Vedder's moment, even though John Hurt's dead.
Yeah. And the but John Hurt got full screen.
John Hurt's dead, but Eddie Vedder's still playing.
Like secondary people that were when Eddie Vedder got featured. It was slightly weird.
It was
weird
like a
choice.
Resurrection video for Eddie Vedder. It was like. You thought he was dead.
He was rising. No,
next year they should do that. They should have like an in memoriam, and Eddie Vedder should show up like in a still like, image.
Wait,
with dates and then question mark flashes.
So, highlights of this segment: diversity good, Deacon's great, Eddie Vedder bad.
No, I don't think that was confirmed.
I'm gonna go with that.
Okay,
that sounds real.
All right, we're gonna finish up here. Right after this.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Every family has skeletons in their closet. Mine certainly does. Ones that go back 100 years and reach thousands of miles back to our hometown in Sicily. Ever since I can remember, my relatives told the story of my great-great-grandmother who was killed by the mafia. I'm Joe Piazza, and in my new podcast, I'm taking on a generational vendetta, visiting the scene of the crime, confronting mafia experts, tracking down Italian officials, and even consulting mediums to set the record straight on my great-great-grandmother's mysterious disappearance. And in between the fact-finding missions, I'll be drinking a lot of wine and eating all of the pasta. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's 12:15. We're all about to go to bed, and we got to recap the Big Four.
It was a whirlwind of activity.
Best director, Emma Stone, saying Foreman and Greta Gerwig was funny.
Awesome.
And then they give it to Guillermo Benicio del Toro. Mm. Meh.
I was bummed.
I was too.
Yeah.
I think it was a great movie. It just, I don't know.
You more so than us.
Yeah, you guys were. I was a way bigger fan than you, and even I'm not thrilled to see it. It was a good movie. It just seemed like there were a lot of other better movies this year.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And that was, I said, good is not best.
Yeah, it's hard for me to say, Guillermo, your movie is not good. It's good.
It's great. It was great.
Best picture for me.
Same.
I wanted Lady Bird. I wanted Greta Gerwig to win the award.
Me too. And she was lovely about all of the loses.
Yes.
I thought it was Jordan Peele to me. I felt like
I would have been really happy if you'd gotten it.
All right. Helen Mirren and Jane Fonda came out to present the award for Best Actor. Scotty said that Jane Fonda looked like she was, quote, chewing on amphetamines.
she's a little twitchy.
What was that?
Well, and Helen Mirren is so composed and, like, serene.
Helen Mirren just, like, she was, like, very conversational, and she would turn, like, and while she was being conversational, Jane was just over there, like, chewing on her own jaw somehow. So she was able to chew on her own chin.
She's probably a little nervous. It's been a while
since. I doubt it.
Well, yeah.
I don't know. She looked like she...
There was a discrepancy in energy levels, for sure.
She looked like she started a rail of cocaine. And could not get comfortable for some reason.
So they came out to give the award for Best Actor. Daniel Day-Lewis, Gary Oldman, Denzel Washington, Mr. Kaluuya, and Timothy Chalamet. Gary Oldman wins.
Boring.
It's
boring.
Just, was it not
predictable? Boring.
Was it not his first win though? It was like,
I don't care.
Yeah, I mean, he's great, of course, and I haven't seen the movie, and I'm sure he's awesome.
Or was it his second win?
No, first nomination, first. This is what we were talking about, though. They throw you a bone. Jordan Peele gets an award, and then you think, okay. And you said something about this being the most woke Oscars, and then all the same predictable shit wins. So I'm really
all right. I say that Jordan Peele should have won the last one. So I would agree with you that I think, Oscar's a little too white this year. They should have recognized. I mean, if you're going to give him screenplay, you have to give him director. That screenplay is amazing, but it's nothing without someone to realize it.
And if he gets those two, he's got to get picture.
But yeah. I don't agree with you about this. I feel like there are levels have to exist in a vacuum.
Well, all I know is that was like a really kind of boring moment, and his speech was kind of long and boring.
I mean, God bless Gary Oldman.
All right, Jennifer Lawrence and then ageless Jodie Foster comes out with the gigantress Amazon woman.
Yeah.
Even though it's actually because Jodie Foster is short.
She looked like she was teensy, two feet taller than her.
Well, she could have worn heels. I mean, I know she's got a bad leg and all, but it's the Oscars. Put some heels on.
With the heels. Have you learned nothing?
Maybe you could just put the heels on your crutches. I don't know. You do something classic.
Sally Hawkins, or as I typed here,
Salty Hawkins, because she didn't win.
Sally Hawkins, Fran McDormand, Margot Robbie,
I think it's Robbie.
Saoirse Ronan and Meryl Streep.
Is it Robbie?
And
Robbie. Yeah.
Fran won, and it was kind of the best.
This is what saved me from just going to bed, which was about to happen after the first two, because.
It's true. She almost went to bed.
She rescued me, yes. And
she rescued America.
Yeah, she did. Where's like cue the most
so
patriotic.
Awesome. She's so comfortable in her skin at this stage in her career, in her life, and like just owns it.
But she's kind of gotten a little bit like no with the press and all of the stuff, but she was genuinely grateful to receive this award. There was no pretense of like, oh, I'm above this, which I was a little bit afraid might happen because of all of her interviews leading up to this she does not like the unnecessary attention, but she was very reverent of this and very reverent of all the women in her company. And, you know, she's a great spokesperson.
I think it's maybe it's redundant to say it, but I think this is the power of diversity. I mean, we get so used to cliche speeches of somebody getting up there, this beautiful person who's like, oh, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? And Frances McDormand, she is a beautiful woman. She was a beautiful woman when she was young. You know what I mean? She like fit the mold,
but she's not
like a Margot Robbie or somebody, a Robbie.
We've been saying
that. Anyway, she's not like that kind of beautiful, but here she comes up and she has a different viewpoint. She doesn't get up there and like, you know, she doesn't equivocate. She doesn't, I don't know. It's just like, you don't feel like she's up there playing a game. She's up there being like, hey, thanks.
Yeah.
All the women stand up for a second.
Yeah.
Well, that was
shout out, you know?
Emily was crying.
Yeah, I was a little weepy.
Yeah.
I'm so bummed about the end of the Oscars, though, that I couldn't really fully get into, like, full...
Your tears soon dried into salty, crusty...
I'm exhausted.
Into the shape of water?
No. No.
Boo.
Scotty's single, by the way, ladies.
I'm doing the... ham room later this week.
Gross.
What does that mean?
was the most disturbing thing I could think of.
Good job. Oh, well done,
also,
sir.
Shout out to Fran because she, of course, she thanked the Oscar carrier guy
who delivered the
award.
I know.
I think she actually tried to thank the cameraman. There was an awkward moment.
No, she totally did.
The lens, and it was just like.
That's her thing now, though. It's like there's
like,
no
ma'am, I'm not allowed
elevation
to talk to
of status. You
up
know?
With gratitude.
Yeah. And she's sick of, I think, the cast
the
system of Hollywood and all Absolutely. Of that. Yeah.
All right. And then finally, Bonnie and Clyde come out to do-over.
Undo. Yeah.
Die on stage
Oops.
Again.
It was still a little nerve-wracking. All right. Phantom Thread, Darkest Hour, Three Billboards, Call Me By Your Name, Get Out, The Post, Lady Bird. Jesus, there's so many.
Way
Shape
too many.
Shape of Water. That's one of the problems.
It is. And they've just added more so that basically they could still give the same predictable movies the awards, but they seem more diverse, which is why the Oscars...
Are you saying it's a big...
Are bullshit. Here I go.
It's always been political.
Next year we're doing the Golden Globes because the Oscars
Next
are
year, critics
and
choice.
Remain bullshit.
So Shape of Water wins. I think we were both all three of us were pretty disappointed.
That ruined my night.
I mean, it was a fine movie, but in no way to me was it the best picture.
There's a certain Oscar feeling to a movie you didn't want to win winning. And this was...
Well, the movie that shouldn't have won winning even. So it was like... Beyond not wanting it to win, it should not have won.
I don't know if it should not have won.
It should not.
I don't think it was the
won.
Best movie this year. It was a good movie, but not the best. Movie.
I know you're all over the place about Shape of Water. You've been very inconsistent.
I've always,
you know, you've been like the Shape of Water, which is ever changing.
Like a snowflake.
Depends on what container you're in.
I do seek the lowest point. I may have found it.
You are the meniscus.
The meniscus.
All right.
I think I have been a pretty strident Shape of Water fan, and even I was a little shocked tonight. I mean, good for them. Good for them that they won. I mean,
now I feel like you're just boosting it up because we weren't though. Because when they prevailed, you were kind of like, that wasn't the right thing.
But
you're being the champion of the underdog.
No, I think I said yesterday that I was a little surprised in your earlier podcast that you both seemed more down on it than I am. I thought it was a good move.
Not down,
but maybe not the best move.
Okay, sorry. Are you wrapping it up?
Yeah, we're wrapping it up. So it's 12:30-ish. We're done here from the Bryant dining room.
Believe it or not, Emily and I actually like each other.
Yeah.
But it sort of ended like we don't like each other. It's kind
of
weird.
Yeah, no,
this
I know.
This whole podcast format, I feel like.
Yeah.
I feel like if this is my only podcast appearance, which it might be, like it seems like people are going to think we hate each other.
Oh, no. Scotty and I are buddies. The comfort factor lets us debate in a comfortable place.
Obviously, we're too comfortable. Look at how obnoxious she's been. And we're
done
here.
I'm going to let you have that one. I'm going to let you have that one.
And right after you leave in your taxi cab, Emily's going to say,
I'm going to hop back on the mic and get the last word. No, you're going to be in bed. I'm just going to come out here and hit play and like do my own little wrap up.
Well, you know, that's not how podcasting works. It doesn't just then automatically beam it into the world.
Sure, it does.
And just so you know, I am the wrong person here. Emily is right.
Obviously, everyone knows this.
It's very good. Love you.
Mean it.
You're good people.
All right, everybody.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for being
Cheers.
Here.
First Oscars
I don't
in.
Have my glass.
Oh, wow.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Good night.
Okay, everybody. Hope you enjoyed that. As you can tell by the end of that show, we were kind of low on energy. You know, we're old folks here in our mid to late 40s, and when the clock ticks past midnight and we've been pounding wine, then it gets a little tiresome. But we hung in there. We made it through. Overall, we had a great time doing the show, and we look forward to doing it next year. And I hope you all enjoyed it. And look forward this week to our interview episode on Friday with the great Jonathan Colton, musician Jonathan Colton, on Terry Gilliam's Brazil. Great movie. Check it out this week if you haven't. Brush up to crush out, as we say, and we will see you this Friday. Movie Crush is produced, edited, engineered, and scored by Noel Brown from our podcast studio at Pond City Market, Atlanta, Georgia.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.